AMP Radio.
Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spiked design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavasi International, lavasi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
AMP Radio.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Yeah, okay. You got your mind. What are you doing?
Welcome to an edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. Smack my picks up. This is Bisping versus St. Pierre, UFC 217, and of course, Bellator 186. And we're coming at you live and unedited from the AMP Studios in Danville, California. How about that, Proteus? A throwback. Do you remember when we used to say the AMP Studios in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you've got the original site of the AMP Studios. It's not like it's the international site of the AMP Studios. It's the original.
Correctamundo.
That's right. The international AMP Studios, of course, in Brantford, Ontario. We're coming at you live and unedited, guys. UFC 217, Bisping versus St. Pierre, and Bellator 186, Bader versus Vassal. That will take place Friday on the 3rd. Believe it or not, in Pennsylvania at the, is the University of Pennsylvania, Prados?
Penn State.
Penn State in the house. Not that we went there. But the event, of course, will air live in primetime on Spike TV. And, of course, keep in mind Bellator 186, the main event. Of course, Ryan Bader will make his first title defense against Linton Vassal. I think we're all jumping up in joy for that one, right? The co-line, the co-main event, of course, will feature the lovely Lima Leigh McFarlane and, of course, Emily Dakota for the inaugural Bellator women's flyweight title. And, of course, UFC 217. Bisping versus St. Pierre. I'm already nervous. That will be held Saturday at the Madison Square Garden Arena, as Ariel likes to point out, the greatest arena in the world. I'm not too sure about that. And of course, this is a second UFC event that will be held at the historic MSG. Let's ask Pam to see if it's historic, because we always go ladies first. Hit it!
You know what? I don't even know where, if it's famous, I don't even know what the fuck it is, so. All I know, it's in New York. That's all I know.
Pammy, who is your Duke player of the week?
Always Christian Laettner.
Again? The fact that we have to go back to Christian Laettner, unfortunately, Pammy, that means that we have to root this for Chapel Hill. I'm sorry, Pammy. We have to go there.
That's
only if Proteus can produce.
Only because y'all don't know better. I'll give you.
That's right.
If you don't know better. Get it?
What's that?
I got a Christian Laettner story for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Christian Laettner came to a high school near me, called where I used to live, called Meyer. We used to live in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and my brother used to be able to jump up, touch the basketball on the backboard, then slam it backwards. And I asked Christian
wow.
Laettner to do that for me, and he said that's impossible. And I said to him, "Sorry, my friend, my brother can do it. So you're a punk. Thank God you went to Duke."
Pammy, any comeback on that?
I'm hearing crickets. I didn't hear a thing he said.
Yeah.
All right. I actually have a Blue Devil story. How about this? That's exactly. Does anyone know where the name Blue Devil comes from, Pammy?
The name Blue Devil, it's French. It's from the French.
Ooh! I'm sorry. She got it back. She got it back. She got it.
Stella?
You got to give her Stella the... Yeah, you got to give her the... Yeah, you got to give her the... Hold on. I got to give you this one, Pammy.
Correct the mundo.
Okay.
That's darn, right. Pammy got it. Son of a gun.
Tommy don't play.
All right. Proteus, who is your Tar Heel of the Week?
You thought I was going to say, because they're blue and they're devils. You thought I was going to be all simpleton.
I bet. I
correct the mundo.
but she didn't give us any alternative facts. Exactly. She gave us real facts. Pammy, I'm going to give you the blue devil of the week. How about we go my boy, Grant Hill. How do you like that?
Oh, I love Grant Hill. That's
right?
A good one. Yeah.
What say you, Prados?
Jerry Stackhouse Packhouse. That's what I'm talking about. Outhouse.
Ooh, look at that. Jerry Stackhouse. And you know what I was going to do, guys? Just being honest here. I was going to name Pammy's Blue Devil, and then, of course, I had him up, and I was going to name Chris Paul. Oops, wrong drop on that one, too. I was going to say Chris Paul from Wake Forest, of course. Wrong North Carolina. Oh, boy. Boy, we really bummed on that one. Let's get the big guy on the show because you know he has something to say about Christian Laettner. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if he's a fan of Christian Laettner, to be honest with you. Let's find out. Hit it!
Marco from Hueco Rural. Hey, brother, you know this is Christian Laettner and your brother? He got a gold medal and a national championship.
Ooh. Nothing for
you? Yeah, go.
Marco underwater?
No, can you hear me?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we can.
Well, like I said, Christian Laettner, the difference between Christian Laettner and your brother is Christian Laettner got a gold medal and a national championship.
What's that? I can't hear Marco at all.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he's joking with you. I think he's joking with you, Marco. Yeah.
He's being salty.
I don't think he wants to hear it.
It's all right. It's all good. I don't even.
You know what?
Don't care. But like, you can't deny the guy's accomplishments. I always root for. I don't got a dog on this fight. You know, don't really care. But I always rooted for North Carolina. Duke is always on the finals. I hate that crap. I mean, Krzyzewski is a really good coach, and you gotta recognize real. But I cannot stand Duke, man. I cannot stand them. You know who I really root for every year, even though they never make it to the finals?
Wake Forest.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Yes,
right.
They were so close this year. So close. But, oh, well, what are you
going to
do?
Gonzaga?
Who the fuck is that guy?
I tell you who
are
really... No, wait, let me talk. Who were really good for a while, and the women's basketball team was awesome for a while, was Baylor, dude. When they got Jimmy Greer. Yeah, Baylor was doing it for a while on the men's basketball team, make it to the Elite Eight. So, yeah, they got a decent basketball team. The football team went to shit now, you know. They suspended all those freaking players and they fired the coach. But Baylor is decent in basketball, so I had to root for them now.
This is very.
Wait a second here, guys. What does Gabriel Gonzaga have to do with any of this?
Exactly.
okay. Is this another MMA podcast or is another college basketball podcast.
That's right.
This is the Blue Devil fan club.
Yeah.
And by the way, Baylor happens to be in Waco, right? Marco, isn't that why you're saying Baylor? Because it's in Waco?
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. I wouldn't be talking about Baylor otherwise. They're like not even...
He's brought it up a number of times on the show.
Okay, let's get back to chingazos.
All right, let's get into it, guys. I got to ask you guys this, though. Favorite costume when you were a kid for Halloween? What was your favorite costume that you wore? Ladies first. Favorite costume that you wore, Pammy?
You know what? Truthfully, I didn't really go trick-or-treating. I can't. We were poor, man. We didn't go trick-or-treating.
Darn, not even a sabana over your head?
No, not even a, no, we didn't, not even. Are you kidding? If I would have taken one of my mom's sabanas and torn that up, oh my God.
Darn, Proteus, favorite costume when you were a kid.
Is this really a question for me? I used to always go with Proteus to any kind of Halloween thing. So
that, very good. Marco, what about you? Yeah. Favorite costume when you were a kid?
Okay, we don't all celebrate Halloween in Chile, but when I came to the States, one time I dressed up as a Terminator, did the whole makeup and stuff, and then Jason Voorhees. Jason Voorhees.
Nice.
We did an event on my... Now, we did an event on our unit up on Fort Hood, and we all dressed up. We let the kids come trick-or-treated at the battalion headquarters, and I dressed up this summer, Jason Voorhees, and I scared the kids, man. The kids were scared to come and pick up candy. So, yeah, you have a good effect.
Jason with the hockey mask, Jason?
Yeah, it was a really Jason hockey mask. I got a fake chainsaw and everything.
Here we go, guys. We're back. Sans, of course, any issues. We go, of course, to Bellator 186, Bader versus Vassal. This Friday, Pammy, on Spike TV or Paramount TV, not to be confused with Endeavor, Proteus's favorite organization. Right, Proteus?
F the Empire.
In the Bellator 186 main event, it will be Ryan Bader, of course, making his first title defense, which I'm not sure he actually won. But let's go to the co-main we start. And I'm going to throw it to Marco first. Alima Leigh McFarland versus Emily Ducote for the inaugural Bellator women's flyweight title. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Alima Leigh McFarland or will it be Emily Ducote?
Okay, dude, for the little research that I could do on these two ladies, I do like McFarland. You know, I listened to her interview up there at the Luke Thomas show. I've seen she's the one with a little bit more potential. She's a good grappler. I like her attitude. I like her response. But do we really think that this is a title shot? I mean, a 6-2 fighter and a 6-0 fighter, there is not the most experienced girls up there. There is way better 125ers in the world, and you know it, and we know it. And like I always say, Bellator doesn't mean anything. But I'm still going with McFarland. I think she's going to be the better grappler. She's going to be able to take it to the ground and grind it. It is a five-rounder because it's a title fight. I don't think it's going to go all five rounds. I think she's actually going to be able to get the submission late in the second or early in the third by Rian Ekeshaw. So give me my follow on the third by submission.
Well, that's a pretty, for not finding out a lot of information, that actually is excellent. But you know what? To the women's flyweight we go, because Emily Ducote, 23 years young, 6-2, a +250 underdog. She will fight Alima Leigh McFarland, 27 years old, 6-0, a -300. We go to the one and only, of course, Marco. Great job on that one. Pammy, we go to you. Do you agree with Marco? Will it be Alima Leigh McFarland or will it be Emily Ducote?
No, I agree. I'm going with Ellie Malay, and I'm not. I don't think this is going five. I had it going three, a third round submission.
Wow, you guys are actually throwing me off because I thought for sure you would say Ellie Malay is a little too much into talking and all that stuff. So you guys have surprised me. Proteus, you are the voice of reason. Prados, do you agree with Pam and Marco? Proteus?
Yeah.
Proteus agrees with us so much that he could not say a single word.
I'm here.
How about that?
I'm here.
All right.
I'm here. Can you guys not hear me?
Yeah,
we couldn't hear you.
Now we can.
Oh, man. No, I wasn't on mute. This program is starting to give me a little bit of the heebie-jeebies, this program. I don't know about this blog talk.
Excuse me, bitch!
It's a kukui.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Must be a monster in the closet. Anyways, listen, guys, I'm very excited that Bellator has started a 125 division. Of course, as Tony pointed out the other day, Bellator is beating the UFC to the punch on this 125 division. But I have, great faith in McFarlane. I think that she showed well at 115s, and I think that her moving up is very, healthy for her, especially in her fighting career. Tony, I'm very pro athlete here. I'm very pro fighting at the weight you should be fighting at, especially the ladies or the women fighters, because as Pam has pointed out, it's different cutting weight for women. So I'm so very, very glad that we are seeing this 125 pound division come into existence. I'm also going to take McFarlane. I'm not thinking it goes five. I can't really see a finish right now. I'm trying to talk myself into not getting a finish, but let's say it goes all five. I think we see a good show here.
You know, Proteus, I don't disagree with you, and I think the one thing that we're forgetting, guys, is these two have fought before. And these two have fought before just three fights ago, actually, for Dakota.
Right.
And, of course, that one went unanimous decision. This was almost about a year ago, maybe 11 months ago. So about a year ago, I think there's a big difference. Even though Gordinha is a very good grappler, Proteus is right about fighting at the weight you should be fighting. She's 5'2", guys. She's very, very tiny going up against an Ellie Malay McFarlane, which really could be easily a bantamweight. So I agree with you guys. I think Ellie McFarlane has a little bit of swag. Undefeated for a reason. They have fought before. They've actually fought a lot of foes that are very Jessica Middleton, etc. So I agree. There's a little bit of swag with Ellie. I agree with her, with you guys. So I'm going with Ellie McFarlane, and I agree with Pam. I think she's going to finish her in the third. So, you know what? I'm actually taking that back. I agree with Marco on this. I think she's going to finish her a little sooner. So I'm going with the second round sub, but I agree with Pam and Marco. I think there's going to be a finish, Proteus.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, here we go, guys. We go to the big boys. We go. The biggest division that Bellator cares about so far, because they clearly don't care about the heavyweight division right now, even though, to be fair, they are stacking that division slowly. Lytton Vassell, 34 years young, from the mean streets of somewhere in Great Britain, 18-5-1, guys.
Shimer.
He is the underdog. Is he? Really? Or are you joking?
Buckinghamshire. England.
Easy for you to say. He is the underdog, Prados, at a plus 265. He will fight Ryan Darth Bader, 34 years young, a very familiar name, right? A former UFC fighter, 23-5, and actually a huge favorite at a minus 325. Pammy, I know that you may not want the music cued for Ryan Darth Bader, but will it be Lytton Vassell? Or will it be Ryan Darth Bader?
Well, he does have really nice ink. So Now, I'm going to do something kind of different. Because he really does have nice ink. And he's handsome. But this is what I'm doing. I'm kind of combining the co-main and the main event together because they're kind of going hand in hand because I think that the Ryan Bader fight is a setup for him to win this fight so they can do the rematch for him and Mr. Wonderful. So Phil Davis is going to win, Ryan Bader is going to win, and they're going to set up that rematch.
That's actually, I didn't even think about that, but I do.
Really?
Yeah, I honestly don't think Bader won that fight, you guys. I agree with Pam. I do think, and of course, Phil Davis is from Penn State, right? So, so Pam, going with Bader, oh, are they really? Both Bader and Phil? Oh, gosh. Hold on. I got to give myself a doink on that one.
Doink.
Boy, I completely messed up that one. Right. So, Pammy, do you have a method or a round for Bader's finish?
Yeah, I've got Bader. I've got him by a KO. I wasn't sure which round. This is a five.
Yeah, five.
Five.
Five. Okay, I'm gonna say, you know what? I'm going second round KO because he has been a decisionator and he needs to solidify this win. I mean, he needs to have a solid win, so I'm taking him by KO. I'm going to say second round KO.
Wow, Pammy going strong with the second round KO. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, do you agree with, I'm sorry, we're actually going with Proteus. Proteus, do you agree with Pammy that it will be Ryan Darth Bader?
Well, Tony, I think that if Bader is all he was meant to be. I mean, he was what, number five in the UFC when he left.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if he was all he's cracked up to be, he should win this fight easily. However, Lynn Vassell is, you know, no joke. 18-5. We say that a lot, but really, he's no joke. He's going to come out to fight. I mean, besides the no contest against Lee McGeary and May of 2017, he's won against Francis Carmont, Emmanuel Newton.
Mm-hmm.
He had a loss at King Mo, but I mean, King Mo was at that time, you know, surging. He won that fight, then he won the heavyweight fight. I don't know, man. I think that these Bellator fighters are really underrated, and I think Ryan Bader is going to have a good fight with Linton Vassell. He's going to, you know, probably coming out of England, be more of a, you know, boxing style. So let's hope that he can, his takedown defense is strong. But if Ryan Bader can impose his wrestling game against Linton Vassell, I think that Ryan Bader takes this easily. I'm going to take Bader second round TKO.
Wow. Second round TKO. Proteus and Pam thinking that, that Bader is actually going to do something that he normally doesn't do, which is finish opponents. Marco, I'm throwing at you. And by the way, I think the no contest was with Adrian Prida and not with with Liam McGeary. According to Sherdog.
I'm looking at the Bellator website and it says Liam McGeary, so I apologize if that's incorrect.
Yeah, I think he finished Liam McGeary via submission triangle in the third. 2 minutes and 28 seconds. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Ryan Darth Bader finally getting a finish? Or will it be, I shouldn't say finally getting a finish because he's had finishes before. Right? Or will it be Linton Vassell?
Okay, first of all, yeah, remember what
we're losing Marco.
Hey, first of all, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead. Okay. Yes, sir.
Remember what Bader did to Latifi, man. Knock him out with a head kick or knee kick, whatever. So he gets finishes, man. The guy has become a better striker. When it comes to Phil Davis, I do not want to see a third Phil Davis fight because when those two fight each other, it's boring as fuck. The first fight was boring. The second one was super boring. I don't want to see them fight a third time. Please do not put those two guys together. because they canceled each other out. When it comes to Basel, this is going to
we're losing Marco.
Again.
Marco, is your headset charged? Because it seems like we're losing your audio.
No, it keeps telling me that you are in the queue, you're off the queue. I'm using
okay.
the phone. Can you hear me better?
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Okay, so like I said, this is going to be a wrestle fuck. Vader is going to use his superior wrestling to grind Basel out. He's a very smart fighter. He's not going to try to outbox Basel because Basel, on paper, is a better striker. But I think, let's be honest, Vader has been improving in leaps and bounds his striking. But I think he's just going to use it to set up his wrestling, take Basel down and grind him for 5 rounds. On a very one-sided unanimous decision, I think Vader take it all 5 rounds, 50-45.
Wow. So Marco going, you know what? I'm actually surprised. Not that all of you guys chose Bader. I'm actually surprised that you guys are, Pammy, of course, going with the second round KO. Proteus going also with the second round TKO KO. Marco going with a Bader decision. I actually agree with Marco. I think it's going to be a Bader decision, and I think it's going to be a very boring fight, you guys. I really think that Lynn Vassell, who's a little bit bigger of a man, by 2 inches, certainly has a reach. But these guys are both decisionators for being relatively big guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we would agree that light heavyweights are big guys. They may not be heavyweights, but they certainly are close. I just think it's going to be a very boring fight, guys. I think at the end of the night, we're all going to be playing this theme that we all know very well. I think we're going to be underwhelmed, and I do want to see another Phil Davis, maybe because I'm a Phil Davis fan, guys, but I don't think Ryan Bader deserved to win that split decision fight, so that's why I want to see another.
He did twice.
Yeah, that's it, twice. That's exactly it. Who wants to see it again? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Thank you, Marco. Both fights suck. Thank you, Marco.
No. Phil Davis ran better? No. He can fight Kim Mo. He can fight Chael Sonnen. He can fight anybody but Phil Davis. No.
All right, you guys might be right, but let's do this, guys.
I say no. No.
Does that mean no?
No.
Proteus, what is your spotlight fight of the night for Bellator?
Oh, DJ Tony, I'm grossly unprepared for the spotlight fight of the night for this particular card. So if you could move on to someone else and come back to me, I'd appreciate that.
You got it. My spotlight fight of the night, guys, will be Leo Leite. That's right, I said it. Leo Leite. I think we have a drop for that.
I see him.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Exactly. 10-0, guys. A huge underdog at a plus 455. He will fight one of my favorite guys that I've met as a fighter. And you know me, I'm not one to drop names, as, of course, the great Gorgeous George once told me. But Phil Davis, 33 years young, 17-4-1. He's a huge favorite at a minus 610. That's my spotlight fight of the night. We go ladies first. Tammy, what is your spotlight fight of the night for Bellator 186?
Well, actually, I chose that fight also, the Phil Davis-Leonardo Leite fight, because it plays in hand with the Bader fight. So, they go hand in hand. So you got to see what's going on with that fight to watch the other fight. You know, it's kind of like a sandwich, like a burger and fries. You got to watch them both together. They have to go together. So.
You don't eat burgers and fries.
Well, I know, but that's the only thing I could think of. Burgers and ham and like what do they say on Friday? Peanut butter and jelly, ham and no burger. You can't have ham and no burger. Peanut butter and no jelly. That's peanut butter and jelly right there.
Then again, we did see Pammy did, of course, post a picture. Keep in mind, Pammy.
Oh my God! I about killed myself. I about died the next day. I was so sick. Oh, it was awful, awful, awful.
Rachel, you're not supposed to put beef in the trifle.
Oh, exactly. That's a friend's.
What kind of beef?
That's a friend's. We bombed on that one. Proteus, it's just you and I on that one.
Hey, move along.
All right,
Nothing to see here.
We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, what is your Bellator spotlight fight of the night?
Okay. Real simple, dudes. Bellator prelims don't mean anything because nobody watches them. They don't even have them on TV.
Ouch.
The only other fight that matters here is the Phil Davis fight. And we all agree on that. That's the only other fight that matters on this card. And I will be watching because I want to see if Phil Davis can actually put a beating on this dude. Because he should run over this guy. They're showcasing him on Penn State, his alma mater, where he won the NCAA National Championship for Wrestling twice. So, yeah, he better put a beating on this dude. It is not like they gave him a war beater for him to school on. So it's Phil Davis all there on this one.
Marco's right. Proteus, do you agree? Do you concur with all of us?
No, I'm going to say I really like to see what's going on with Ed Ruth against Chris Dempsey. Also, side note, Zach Freeman versus Saad Awad. Check it out.
Yeah, Saad Awad, of course, junkie friend, right? Junkie favorite. All right, guys, let's move to the card that matters. Not that Bellator doesn't, because you guys know I'm a huge Bellator fanatic, so let's get that straight. But everyone's been saying it. This is... Go ahead, Proteus.
No, I was saying, what? You're a Bellator fan? No.
No, who would ever give you that idea? But this is the biggest card on paper that we've seen for the UFC, but yet, you know what? I was telling Proteus, I'm not feeling the love from the UFC or the promo, and again, we'll probably get into this later. I just think there are way too many cards. UFC 217, Bisping versus St. Pierre, held this Saturday, November 4th, making the return, of course, GSP, George St. Pierre, not to be confused with OSP. Let's start with the women's flyweight. We go. Actually, let's start with this one. I kind of ruined this one just because I was overlooking everyone because there are such big names. But Paulo Borraquinha, 26 years young, huge guy, and I might have to cue the music for Pammy. 10-0. He is the favorite at a -230. And you know what? I think I'm a favorite against Johnny Hendricks. And yes, I'm joking because he would kick my ass. But Johnny Hendricks, of course, 34 years young, 18-7, a +190. And I just saw him fighting. I don't know if you guys saw this, the GSP fight. And boy, he's the shell of what he was once. There's no doubt about it. Marco, I'm going to go to you. Will it be Johnny Hendricks or will it be Paulo Borraquinha?
Okay, man. When it comes to Johnny Hendricks, I got no faith on the dude, man. He needs weight, making 185 now, you know? I don't see his head is in the game. He moved to Jackson's Winkle John in Albuquerque just to try to get a new look. He's not the same guy that I saw winning the welterweight championship 3 years ago in 2014, dude. I don't know what is left for Johnny. I think they're setting him up for this guy. How do you say his last name again? Borraquinha?
Borraquinha.
Borraquinha, yeah. This Brazilian guy is really freaking good, man. He's got awesome stand-up. He's a younger buck, you know. A lot of people are really high on Borraquinha, and I think that... Johnny Hendricks saw his better days already. It's going to be sad. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be violent. So I'm picking the Brazilian. I think the Brazilian is going to actually put some pain on Mr. Hendricks. I mean, he's an undefeated fighter. You know, he got a jiu-jitsu base. He's also a shoot-a-box fighter. You know, he's very good Muay Thai and I got no faith on Johnny Hendricks. That's the bottom line. I think his better days are gone. I think this guy Borraquinha is going to knock Johnny Hendry Axe in the second round, and we want to see either Hendricks go to Bellator or retire, because like I said again, I don't see his favorites in the game, and I think his best days have passed gone.
And is your Borrachinha, do you have a method in a round?
I told you, second round KO.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marco. My bad. I'm sorry. Second round KO. Marco's going with the smart money on this one. And I actually agree with Marco on this one. Proteus, we will go to you. Proteus, will it be Johnny Hendricks or will it be Paulo Henrique Costa Borrachinha?
Okay, I think that this is kind of the same thing that we saw in Poland. It's going to be a very embarrassing thing for Johnny Hendricks. This is a 185-pound fight, and he's coming up against a guy who is a giant compared to him, and I don't think it's going to end up well for him, DJ Tony. I think that Borrachinha, am I getting that right? Borrachinha?
Borrachinha.
Borrachinha?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think Borrachinha takes it first round KO.
Wow, you know what? I'm just going to break cover here, or actually, I agree with you 100%. Pammy, I'm going to cue the music for you, because if you've seen any pictures of this guy, I think you'll want me to cue the music. I could be wrong, Pammy. Should I cue the music for you, yes or no?
Well, you know I like blondes, but go ahead.
I'm going to throw the Pammy.
Okay. All righty. So I don't know if y'all remember, he was fighting... probably, I don't remember which card it was, but he was my spotlight fight. And I told you guys, you need to watch this guy. That's going to be fun to watch. And look where he is now. So we go from Big Rig, who is not Big Rig anymore. He's fighting out of New Mexico. So now we got to call him Taco Truck. So Borrachinha and Johnny Hendricks, you know what? First round TKO. This guy is cutting weight to 185. So he's cutting weight to 185. So come fight night, you know he's not going to be weighing the 185. He's like 8,000 feet tall. He's 6 foot tall versus Johnny Hendricks, 5'9", on a good day. So I'm taking first round TKO.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's going to be, I agree with all you guys. Like I've already said, I agree
with you. Well, you know what? I don't think that, I think maybe Hendricks did not know who this guy was when he signed on the dotted line. I really don't think that he knew who this guy was.
I don't think that Hendricks had a choice.
I don't think he had a choice either. I think it's one of those things where they're putting...
I agree with Prodis. I think that is what they present to him, and he had to take it because he cannot call the shots anymore.
Yeah, I think his days of calling the shots are gone. And unfortunately, I agree with Marco. I think if he's going to continue to fight, it's certainly not going to be in the UFC, because I think, like I've said, everyone has a run, and I think his run is done. And I'm not trying to rhyme there. But we will go to the middleweight. We stay, and I didn't even know it. Jorge Masvidal. Right. I'm not even going to call him George, guys,
man.
Because I think... He's the first to be called welterweight. That's right. Welterweight. Sorry, to the welterweight we go. See, I got so excited, I jumped straight to the GSP fight. To the welterweight we go. Jorge Masvidal, 32 years young, and matching his 32-12 record, right? He is the underdog, guys, at a plus 160. He will fight Pammy's boy, because she likes the blonde, Steven Wonderboy Thompson, or of course, as Proteus would say, Wonder Man, 34 years young, 13-2-1, and unfortunately, I think we've seen one of the twos very recent. He is, of course, a minus 185. Pammy, should I cue the music for you?
Yeah, he's a little cutie pie, southern boy.
Okay.
So, okay, you know what? Don't laugh at me, but I have nothing written. I'm as the produce would say, gun to my head. I'm looking at my notes right now. I took them to work with me. I had them in my purse all day. Was looking. This fight is so close. Even Veronica was walking by her, and I said, "Help me with this. Look at this." And she's like, "Well, God, they're almost alive." So, I mean, you know, the reach of Stephen Thompson has a 1-inch reach advantage. Leg reach is 1-inch, 1-inch advantage. But man, after the lackluster performance of the Woodley fights, I think he is going to want to come out here and fight and show what he's able to do. I think Masvidal, what has me leaning towards Wonderboy is that he lost to Maya, who just was beat by Colby.
Yeah.
And Colby's ranked number 7, and Masvidal is ranked number 4. So I just think that sometimes Masvidal, he's a very passionate fighter. And I think with that, being that passionate, sometimes you make mistakes. And Stephen Wonderboy is a very technical fighter. And I think with his striking and his conditioning, I think he's going to take this fight. And I don't, I don't know. It's going to be something with kicks. TKO, what is this, 3 rounds?
Yeah,
3 rounds. You know what? It's going to be a third round TKO.
And you're going with Wonderboy?
Wonderboy. I'm going with Wonderboy.
Well, so Pammy going with Wonder Man in second round TKO.
But let me add an amendment to that or whatever. If Masvidal wins, I won't be upset because these two I love both of them. So, but I'm just being like on a technical. Yeah, so
Pammy riding the fence. Yeah, I was going to throw it at Proteus, but now I'm going to throw it to Marco because Marco loves when people ride the fence. Marco, Pammy's riding the fence here.
There ain't no riding no fence in here. First of all, Masvidal is a blown up lightweight. He's he doesn't have to cut to 170. Wonderboy, he's huge for 170, man. He should be a middleweight. Also, style of fights. I mean, a lot of people give Wonderboy grief for the last fight with Woodley. They forgot that the first fight, the draw, was a very exciting fight. And then the ass whipping he put on Rory McDonald was freaking... Yeah, the ass whipping he put on Rory McDonald was awesome, too. So, still wonder if Thompson can put an action fight. And this style make this fight because Masvidal is a pressure fighter. He likes to come forward. Wonderboy is an excellent counter striker. He'll sit on the back foot and wait for you and counter you to death. And that is going to be Masvidal's undoing. Masvidal has got all the talent in the world. He's super well-rounded. But he doesn't get the best fight IQ. And all the fights that he loses because he loses track of the fight itself and then gives the fight away. And I truly believe that Wonderboy is super technical. He's a chess master there on the octagon. He's super difficult to take down. And striking-wise, I think his striker is superior to Masvidal. He's going to sit on his jab, on his back foot, and counter Masvidal all night long. He's not going to finish Masvidal. Masvidal is super, super tough. It's very difficult to finish him, but he's going to outpoint him in a straight 30-27 decision. So give me a... By a straight decision.
I'm surprised that Marco's going decision. Not joking. And Marco's completely right in saying that Masvidal sometimes... I don't know if he loses track of the fight, but he certainly loses interest, I think. Proteus, do you agree? Will it be the Wonder Man, or will it be Jorge Gamebred Masvidal?
No, I think I agree a lot with what Marco had said. And I think that what we need to look at is the karate style of the Wonder Man. We're seeing a lot... of people, we're seeing a lot of people like kind of emulate that style since Machida came out with it back in the day, and we made it like the Machida era, okay? But I think people have learned from Machida's mistakes, and I think Marco was correct that if Jorge does what he does, usually he's going to get knocked out. I think that unfortunately, thank you very much.
I was just going to say, you know who doesn't do that? Chuck Ray. Sorry.
Are y'all done? Can I continue?
Sorry.
Okay. Let the man talk. You're going to get brother. I'm going to take control of this rodeo. You talk. Do your thing.
So I agree with Marco. I think that Stephen Thompson is going to be the smarter fighter. If Jorge is able to get Stephen Thompson into that kind of grudge match kind of fight that he wants to fight, which I don't think is going to happen. And I agree with Marco that Jorge is a blown up lightweight. I think that what we're going to see right now with this fight, and of course with any other person, like, you know, when Cowboy came up and fought Darren Till, we're going to see that we need another division. We do. This is where we need another division, and it's going to be glaringly obvious, because Stephen Thompson is going to KO Jorge Masvidal. He's probably going to KO him in the second by a stunning leg kick. Thank you very much, Tony.
You know what, guys? I don't agree that we need to have new divisions. I mean, we could talk about that later.
Really
but,
good.
Thank
I love
you,
that
Proteus. But I actually don't. I just think we need to get more strict on the guidelines in terms of weight. We can get into this if time permits. But I agree with Marco. I think Masvidal loses focus. I don't think he loses track of where the fight is. I just think if he's not winning, I think he's a little bit of a front runner. And I mean that with all due respect, as many of us are, but I think he's going to lose track of the fight. I don't think that Wonder Man can finish Masvidal. I think Masvidal's really tough, guys. So I'm actually going to go with I'm going to go with Marco on this. I'm going to go via decision, and I'm choosing Stephen Wonder Man Thompson.
Championship.
So everyone going with Thompson all across the board. Let's get back into the fights, guys, because we honestly, guys, on paper this freaking looks amazing, guys, but let's get into it. And unfortunately there will not be Careless Whisper tonight. Rose Namajunas. I hate when people call her Namajunas. Those are the same idiots that say noons. Rose Namajunas, 25 years young, 6-3. She's a huge underdog, but can play the living crap out of the piano. That's for damn sure. At a plus 450 underdog, she will fight. This might be hyperbole here, Proteus, but perhaps the best women's fighter that we've seen of recent. Or ever in the UFC, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Joanna champion, 30 years young, 14-0, and a well-deserved 14-0. Huge favorite at a minus 600. Proteus, I'm going to you. Will it be Thug Rose, or will it be the champion, JJ?
I'm going to tell you what, Tony. I'm going to buck what you have to say, and I'm going to play it anyways. My girl Thug Rose is going to take this. She's going to take it down. You know what? JJ always comes into the fight. She's always got to have that advantage over her opponent, where the opponent is kind of, you know, intimidated by JJ. Rose is not at all intimidated by JJ.
Wow.
Not only is she not intimidated by JJ, she's in her own zone, man. I think the hype was real back in the day when she was on The Ultimate Fighter, maybe it was a little bit too much pressure for her at the time. But I'm going to take her, man. I think that first stare down that we saw at that press conference in Las Vegas was very telling. Rose doesn't give a shit, man. She's going to go out there and do her game. And as we've seen in past fights, Rose can take a beating. But if Rose can take advantage, as I think she will do, of JJ in the beginning, she can get that head kick. Look at the last fight we saw against the Karate Hottie. That was a highlight reel, man. Highlight reel head kick. I say she takes JJ out early and she shocks the world. Second round TKO.
Wow. Son of a gun. I am honestly shocked. Proteus, if you were to say at least second round submission, I kind of would go with you on this one because Rose is so long, but wow. Second round TKO. I am honestly shocked, Marco. Marco, I'm going to hand it over to you because I'm literally shocked. Will it be Thug Rose or will it be JJ?
Oh, come on, man. Joanna Champion, the Poland Chainsaw Massacre. You know what? It's not Rose hasn't been on a championship fight before. She fought Carlos Esparza for the original, strawweight championship. But still, I think it's a little bit too much too soon for Rose. She's so super talented. I think she is eventually the future of the division, but the future is not now, man. And I mean, we think what Rose has done with, I think, better grapplers than Rosa Majunas. With Claudia Gadelha, she weathered the storm and they put a beating on her. Jessica Andrade, a strong little tank that I think is the second best strawweight in the planet. She put a beating on her. We saw Rose Namajunas fight, the 1B version of Joanna Jędrzejczyk on Karolina Kowalkiewicz, and that didn't go her way. If she tried to strike with Joanna, she's going to get pissed up. She's going to get ugly. Because that's what Joanna does. She's hit by 1,000 cuts, and 1,000 jabs, and 1,000 elbows, and 1,000 knees. And grappling-wise, Joanna is so super tough to get down. And when she gets down, she's really good at getting up. And what tires grapplers the most is not the getting the takedown, but getting the takedown and not being able to secure it and then the person just getting up. Because all that wasted energy to get the person down is gone. I think this is going to be an ugly obliteration of Rose Namajunas. She's going to give you an honest fight because she's, like them said, she's tough as hell. She's going to give you an honest, entertaining fight, but at the end of the day, the referee is going to stop the fight on the floor by TKO because Jędrzejczyk is going to bring Rose against the cage and send that machine gun barrage of punches and kicks that she sent, and the referee won't have no choice but to stop the fight. So give me Joanna Champion by TKO on the floor on a steal, and then after that move to 125 and be whoever becomes the champion at 125 and be a two belt holder champion. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, 4-round TKO.
I was actually going to give Marco props for his call on Junkie today for saying just that Joanna is going to eventually move up to 125 and take that belt too. Pammy, I'm going to go to you. I mean, we're all over the board. Proteus choosing Thug Rose, second round TKO. Marco going with the fourth round TKO. Pammy, you have to be the voice of reason here.
I am the voice of reason, but hang on, let me move the dog out of here because he's all up in my face. Okay, so you're looking at, this is going to be a really, really, really good fight. It's going to be exciting, but Joanna Krzyzewski hasn't finished a fight since 2015. Her last submission win was in, I can't say her last name. So her last submission win was in 2012. She is a decisionator. Her last fights have all been won by decision. Man, it is a new era fucking Thug Rose third round submission.
Whoa!
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Wow. I am honestly shocked with you guys. See, I'm even stuttering. Am I crazy or am I the only one that thinks that Marco knows what he's talking about here, you guys? I think,
Marco,
wow.
Right.
So,
Yo no crazy, produce some fire.
Marco está loco. Está loco en la cabeza. Muy loco. That's right. I've got weeds, edibles, unedibles, moonshine. I got it all.
Well, guys,
I'm called Thug Rose. You don't call a person crazy and not get your ass beat.
I don't disagree with you there. I just think Joanna Champion is Jenchik, not to be confused with Krzyzewski. I just think that was hilarious, by the way. Yeah, I just think Joanna has way too much. I think the only thing that can stop Joanna in that division right now, and we've seen her go up against some heavy hitters. We haven't seen her go up against a lot of length and a lot of great Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I think you and I think Pammy has probably the best case scenario for Rose with a third round sub. I just think Joanna, the only thing that can stop her are her broken hands because she's had issues with that. I'm going JJ all day and all night. As the one and only Nick Diaz would say about our podcast.
Sub train by day.
Amp Radio.
Podcast by night. All day.
JJ, all day long. Decision, guys. All right, let's move up. We go up in weight, certainly, but not by much. So the bantamweight we go, Pammy. And let me know if I need to cue the music for you for Cody Garbrandt. But TJ Dillashaw, 14-3. And this is a pick'em, as Mark would say, a -155 for Dillashaw, a -175 for Cody Garbrandt. No Love, of course, 26 years young, 11-0, and one of the hardest hitters I've seen in a bantamweight. Pammy, we will go to you. Will it be TJ Dillashaw or will it be Cody Garbrandt?
Okay, big fight. You know what? This is the fight of the mean girls. Mean girls. You know. Cody, yeah, Cody, 11-0. TJ, 15-3. Cody has only gone five rounds one time, and besides Almeida and Cruz, who has he fought? I think right now he is too emotional. We got a lot of stuff going on in his life. Just got married. He's going to have a baby. He's, you know, PMSing about TJ and what TJ is wearing, and he left the team and all this other bullshit, you know. And in truth, you know what? I'm going to make it short and sweet. I'm taking TJ with the fourth round submission.
Wow. You guys are honestly driving me. Yeah, you guys are driving me crazy. Snake in the grass right here. Wow. All right. See, you literally threw me off. I did not think that you would pick Dillashaw. And I certainly didn't think that you would pick him over Garbrandt, because I think the only thing that beats Garbrandt is his back. But I will go to Proteus. Proteus, do you agree with Pammy? Will it be Dillashaw or will it be the current Team Alpha Male sensation? Did you like that? Alpha Male sensation? Nothing? All right, I'll give myself crickets on that one.
Well, as you said, Tony, I think what you said was right. The current Team Alpha Male sensation. I just want to touch quickly on all the BS that we mentioned earlier on that's been going back and forth between these two camps. Listen, guys, you're going to get into a cage. You're going to have a fight. Stop all the BS about somebody did somebody wrong. You know, Pam, I stole $5 from you back 10 years ago, and I'm butthurt because you moved camps and are not giving me your money anymore. This is ridiculous, man. I'm so glad that this fight is going to happen, and it's finally going to happen, and we're going to have a result. I think it's a very, very good fight, as all the both of you have alluded to. Who knows what's going to happen with these two teammates, right? Because they've both seen each other. And, of course, as if we can, you know, kind of dilute the code that they're both sending out, maybe they're both kind of a little reckless,
hot
a little bit crazy.
Other?
Yeah, maybe they're hot for each other. I don't know. Maybe they like to get some never mind. Let's move on.
I won't say that, yeah.
Alpha male. Team Alpha Male Pond. What? Okay, so, no. I think this is a very close fight. I think it's a very good fight. I think that, I don't know, man. I think that TJ Dillashaw is not the same fighter that we saw back at when he fought Dominic Cruz. I think that this guy is kind of prepared for the fighter that Cody Garbrandt is. Of course, the neck tattoo has not been training as much as Cody or as TJ has because he's had that back injury, as Pam had mentioned. I'm going to take TJ Dillashaw. I'm going to take him to shock the world. And I think that there's going to be an immediate rematch because the fire between these two guys is just too strong. And, you know, we're in the WWE era of the UFC, so that's what's best for business.
Wow. All right. I'm literally shocked. Apparently, we have forgotten that Cody Garbrandt fought, of course, probably the best bantamweight we've ever seen, at least in our lifetime to date, and really took it to him when I didn't think he would. Marco, we go to you. Tell me you're going to be the voice of reason this time, because certainly Proteus and Pam have thrown me for a loop.
I am the voice of reason, I tell you why, because I also think TJ Dillashaw is winning this fight. I'm not convinced that he's the best bantamweight on the planet. I was there with TJ Dillashaw, beat the breaks out of Henan Burrell, where Henan Burrell was one of the pound-for-pound best fighters on the planet. We remember that the second fight was even worse. He got the hiccup with Dominic Cruz, but a lot of people thought that you could make the argument that TJ Dillashaw won that fight. It's not like Dominic Cruz cool Dillashaw on that fight. It was a very close fight, and it was a coin toss of who was going to win the split decision. Then he did the breaks out of Rafael Asunção, and it's cool on Lineker. I just gave you four names of what TJ Dillashaw freaking did to people that are way superior of what Garbrandt has faced. Garbrandt looked good with Cruz. I'm not going to deny that. That was an amazing performance. But what does lining in the bottle? Because all I've seen of him when it comes to a fight on fire was a fight, and he looked great. I'm not going to deny it. Almeida, he looked great. But these guys know each other. They have seen each other. It's not going to be surprises, you know. I think the freaking TJ Dillashaw is the most polished striker, the most dynamic striker. He is a younger version of Bobby Cruz, and he got wrestling to back it up, too. I think that the wrestling is going to cancel each other out. But I think the movement and the fluidity that Dillashaw got is going to affect the fight. Garbrandt tend to plant his feet a little bit more. He likes to sit on his punches because he likes to knock people out. And that is what's going to be his undoing. I don't think Dillashaw knocks Garbrandt out, but I think he outstrikes him. And it's going to be an entertaining fight. I call it the fight of the night right now. And a 48-47 decision for TJ Dillashaw, a new champion. And what is going to happen next? He's going to move to 125 and face Demetrius Johnson, at least to Demetrius Johnson, because DJ is the best fighter in the planet. But that is a story for another day. The winner of this fight is to fight Demetrius Johnson. But on this fight, I'm taking a 48-47 decision with DJ Dillashaw.
Wow. Well, you guys know that I love my fellow hosts in this podcast because they're just like three little Fonzies.
We're all going to be like three little Fonzies here. And what's Fonzie like?
Well, usually Fonzie's cool, but I got to tell you about my three co-hosts right now.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Are we forgetting that Garbrandt has already knocked out TJ Dillashaw? Are we really forgetting that, guys? Because this is...
When that happened?
Well,
when that happened?
There's video. And, allegedly, there's video and there's proof that it's happened.
That is practice.
Well,
that is practice.
There's no doubt about it. Listen, if I get the chat, let me know when it's my turn. Go ahead, guys. Let me know when it's my turn.
No, you go ahead.
We've seen this fight. You and I haven't seen this fight before, but they've had this fight before. They've seen each other fight every single time. The problem is both are married now. The problem is both are having children now. And the problem is there's still one mean guy in this bunch, and that's Cody Garbrandt, who's not afraid of TJ Dillashaw. I think TJ Dillashaw does get emotional just like Garbrandt. I'd be lying if I told you that I didn't think that Garbrandt gets too emotional, but they have fought before, guys, and they know each other very, very well. And I think Garbrandt would duck this fight gracefully, honestly, if he didn't think that he could beat him. I think it's going to be a second-round TKO. I think Garbrandt's going to finish Dillashaw.
I think you're crazy.
No, man, I don't think he's crazy at all. Hey, man, that could happen. I think that Dillashaw and Garbrandt is a tight fight, man, and that's what the odds are showing.
Yeah, you're right. That's why it's a pick and fight. I still ride with Dillashaw. I already gave you my
pick.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, oh boy, Nathan's not impressed. All right, guys, let's move up. Either way, I think Marco's right. I think this is going to be the fight of the night. There's no assuming it goes more than a couple rounds. I think there's going to be the fight of the night. Guys, let's go to the fight that we've all been waiting for, sort of, at least half of it, and I'm not kidding. I think we've all been waiting for GSP to come back. I don't want him to come back, but he's back, so that's where we are. But I'm not sure we wanted to see this fight, but I think maybe we all wanted to see GSP come back. I certainly didn't. GSP, of course, I'll be honest, the greatest fighter that I ever saw that's not named Anderson Silva during his heyday, 36 years young, 25-2. And this is a pick on the minus 115, Marco, and he will fight Michael Bisping, 38 years young, 30-7, and a minus 105. This is a close fight, and I'm not sure who takes it, but Marco, you've always been the voice of reason when it comes to the main event, so I'm throwing it to you. Will it be Bisping or will it be GSP?
Well, just for the record, I am excited that George St. Pierre is coming back. I am excited about the fight. I like the fight. But all that said, man, I mean, 4 years, almost 4 years to the day, because the last time he fought was November of 2013. That is a long layoff, man. And now he's coming back as a blown-up welterweight, because GSP is not a middleweight. He's just a natural welterweight. Against Michael DeCamp Bisping, that used to be undefeated at light heavyweight back on the day when he first came into the UFC. I don't like the fight for GSP, man. Historically speaking, Bisping has been super tough to get down. You know, he got really good takedown defense when he prepares for it. I mean, a straight up wrestler like Chael Sonnen and Anthony Kennedy got a hell of a time taking him down. It took forever.
Yeah.
And Bisping is tough as nails. He's got cardio for days. Like, the guy's resting heart rate is 34, 35 beats per minute, for crying out loud. So he never gets tired. And the style is the one that worries me, because he's a pressure fighter and a volume fighter. And he's going to put volume on GSP. And if GSP is not able to get Bisping down early on the fight and establish the takedown, it's going to get uglier as the fight gets longer. I believe Bisping is a heavier hitter just because of his natural weight. You know, striker, when it comes to straight boxing, Bisping is the better striker when it comes to straight boxing. But if it's kickboxing, I'll give yes to GSP. I don't like the fight for GSP. I honest to God don't. A lot of people always undermining Bisping's accomplishments, but if you look at his record, he has beat the who's who, man. And the guy's tough as nails, and when he got a chip on his shoulder, he's dangerous. I'm going to give GSP the respect of toughing this fight out, because he has been able to tough this fight out. You know, the Johnny Hendricks fight, he toughed it out. He won it, even though a lot of people say he lost. The record shows that he won that fight. He was in trouble with Carlos Condit, and, you know, he toughed that out. It's going to be a decision, but it's going to be pretty much a one-sided decision. I've seen Bisping take it 49-46 on the scorecards and still the middleweight champion of the world, and then he will unify it against Robert Whittaker. So I take Bisping with a unanimous decision.
Yeah, how do you argue with that? I mean, Marco's completely right. If I wasn't such a GSP fan, but how do you argue with that? He makes sense. Although and Marco, I want you to do this drop. I don't think I want to see Bisping fight who, Marco?
Yoel Romero.
Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah.
Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah, I don't think I want to see that fight because I think Bobby Knuckles will knock Bisping the F out. Tammy, I'm going to you because I really don't know where I'm going with this one. I really don't. Marco makes sense here. Tammy, is it Bisping or is it GSP? And I didn't want to see GSP come back for the record.
Okay. Cue the music, please.
Oh, sorry, Pam. You're right. Proteus and Liz, if you have the music, cue it. I will. All right.
Okay, well, GSP
I'll cue the music.
Always
No, don't do it yet, Pammy. Okay. No.
Okay. All right. George St. Pierre, I did not want to see him come back. I wanted him to stay retired because I wanted him to have gone out on top with grace and dignity. Saying that, hell yeah, I'm going to watch this fight. So, this is a fact. Let me give you a fact. Alternative fact. George St. Pierre only loses to guys named Matt. Matt Serra and Matt Hughes. Boom. Michael Bisping, okay. The count. Great stand-up. He's a good wrestler. World Jiu-Jitsu. He's a 1995 silver medal world jiu-jitsu champion. 5-time British kickboxing champion.
Alternative
British sports jiu-jitsu champ. But I question some of his wins. You know, the win against Silva, that's questionable. Win against Henderson, that was questionable also. So given that, and then the way he kind of weaseled out of fighting Yoel Romero. So, you know, I don't like that. Man, I got to go with my George St. Pierre. I am going with George St. Pierre. And I'm going to go decision, George St. Pierre.
Yeah. That's a good decision. That's a guarantee.
Ooh! Oh, Lord! Oh, man!
What did you say, Alvin? What did you say?
He said GSP decision. I guarantee it. Because GSP, he's a decisionator. I'm sorry, that was a good one.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Darn, that was a good one. And Proteus is there with the drops, but boy, I'll tell you, that's a good one, Marco. That one actually goes straight into the playoffs of good comebacks. That's a good one. Pammy going with GSP decision, and Pammy, I'm not sure if I don't think that that's just a pure pony decision on that one. Proteus? You have to be the voice of reason, even though, honestly, I think Marco's being the voice of reason here. Proteus, will it be? Hang on. Let me get this drop straight. Wait a second. I'm buying time here. Yes, I am. Will it be the one and only? No, Proteus, he's not fighting. Will it be Bisping or will it be? Nope. It's GSP, Proteus. Will it be GSP or will it be Michael Bisping?
Well, I think that if anybody has been listening to this show for a long period of time, I think they know what I thought about this fight when it was originally announced. I know what I think about it when it was actually booked, and I think they know. Or maybe they're going to be educated right now about what I think about this fight. It's very, very interesting. Obviously, GSP, as Michael Bisping has noted, thinks that Michael Bisping is a guy he can beat. And I think that 4 years off and 4 years off with Freddie Roach, you know, we saw the – if you don't remember – go back and watch some fights when GSP was the man who started using that lead jab in MMA, sticking that in your face, and he was the best one to use it. And then, of course, Rory McDonald picked that up very fast as well. And we've seen that that lead jab, you know, very, very pronounced in MMA, especially in the UFC, leading forward. I think that GSP taking 4 years off, of course, as we know, he had not retired. Contrary to popular belief, he never said the R word. He was still continuing to be tested by USADA, as far as I know. I know that's right. He had to enter back into the pool again to get back into this fight. And what was that? That was Marco. That was like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Actually, a year and a half ago, because he was supposed to go into the fight in Toronto in October of last year. So 6 months prior to that, he entered the pool again. So he's been tested for almost a year and a half now.
Thank you, Marco. See, I know Marco is my facts guy. So he's been back in the pool for a year and a half. I don't know why they stopped testing him. Thank you, Tony. And listen, I think that GSP would not have come back. We know that he had Freddie Roach put him through the ropes to see whether or not his stand-up game was up to par. I think that the best, or one of the best, I consider him the best boxing coach in the world, Freddie Roach. If he tells you that your boxing game is on point and that you can go back into fighting, that's a very valid point. I'm going to take GSP. I know it's going to be a very, very unpopular pick. I'm going to take GSP. Whether or not I think that Michael Bisping is afraid of GSP's wrestling game. And let's be honest, because GSP back in the day was training with the Crow, David Loazzo, and he was a much bigger man than George St. Pierre was. And I think that that's kind of handled. I mean, I think that these guys are used to fighting against or training against bigger guys. I'm going to take GSP, and I'm going to take him to become that shining star that we know he is and be that two-time belt holder. I'm going to take him by, he said second round TKO or KO, but I'm going to take him by second round KO. Thank you, Tony.
Yes. Good for you.
I'm not impressed
I like
by
that.
Your performance.
I got an answer for
right.
you.
You know what?
GSP wasn't tested. Hey, real quick, I got an answer for probably why GSP wasn't tested, even though he was not retired. Because when USADA came into the fold, you know, a couple of years ago, GSP wasn't an inactive fighter. He wasn't actively fighting. So for all intents and purposes under USADA regulation, because GSP was not an active fighter, they considered him retired. That's why he had to reintroduce himself to the pool when he announced himself to be available for fighting again.
Marco comes through again.
He does know how to push it all the way right to the line, right, Proteus?
Good. Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you.
Okay, so
all
that's
right. You know, I'm going to be honest with you here. And I'm not riding the fence at all. I'm telling you right now, I'm picking GSP. But if I wasn't a GSP fan, I'd pick Bisping. But I think it's going to be a GSP, and I'll tell you why, guys. And yes, I'm a GSP fan, so it goes out the door. I like the count, too, because the count actually gave us a shout-out, gave Marco a shout-out on when he had his Sirius XM show. He gave, of course, our show a shout, but because it's Marco. But I will say this, and this is where I'm going to literally make some sense here, because I know that picking GSP doesn't make sense, but Marco, I think you'll appreciate this. You guys may forget this. Proteus probably doesn't. GSP is a lefty. Now, GSP fights orthodox, and I don't know if it's one of those things where it was frowned upon, and I'm not trying to make a Canadian joke here, where it was frowned upon to in a boxing gym to fight, you know, fight lefty. I'll be honest with you. I fight lefty. I've always fought lefty. I'm a right-handed fighter, and I've always fought lefty. And it was frowned upon when I was boxing as a kid. They made me fight right-handed, but kickboxing, I always fight left-handed. GSP's a lefty, guys, and which eye is bad for Bisping? His right eye. which is great lefties. And that's why I think he's been working with Freddie Roach. I don't think he can knock out I don't think he can knock out Bisping, who's a much bigger man, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm picking GSP because I think GSP is a little smarter, and I think Bisping is smart. I think GSP is trying to outsmart him, and I think he will. I think he's going to punish that right side of Bisping's face, and I think he's going to take a decision. I think it's going to be probably 3-2. I think early, maybe Bisping actually has success, maybe in the first, maybe in the fourth, because his cardio is so good. But I do think it's going to be GSP, and I think it's going to be GSP bashing that right eye, guys.
I agree.
I'm not matter any of you guys pick, I'm a big GSP fan, but I'm trying to, in this pick, I'm trying to take emotion away from it. And the one thing that bugs me is the 4 years away. If it was like a year and a half, something like that, I would be leaning towards GSP more. You know, because let's also remember, Bisping is on the wrong side of 30. But I stand with my pick. I think Michael Bisping is going to outpoint GSP on an entertaining 48-47 decision. That, what do I know?
Well, a lot, actually. But and you're making sense. I'm just picking GSP because I'm a fan, and I'm trying to find a reason to pick him. You guys might think I'm crazy, but that's what I'm trying to find. So Marco being the Lone Ranger, picking Bisping the favorite. Well, actually, it's a pick 'em. Pam picking GSP. Proteus going GSP. I'm going GSP. Surprise, surprise, Marco. Like Pam, via decision. Let's pick your spotlight fight of the night. Go ahead, Marco.
Okay, I'm going with GSP. I'm going with the Corton Jerker just because I really like the prospects of the little Farah Sahabi's little brother against.
Oh, good pick.
Very first fight on Fight Pass, man. I'm really high on the kid Sahabi. He's got really good jiu-jitsu. His striking is coming along. A lot of people are high on this prospect, you know, the younger Sahabi brother. So that is my spotlight night of spotlight of the night.
Darn, if I had a Toonie or a Looney, Proteus, for every single time I heard Canadian and Zahabi, I'd be a rich Canadian. That's for darn sure. Pammy, we will go to – I got crickets on that one. Really?
No, you definitely would be.
Darn it. All right. Pammy, I'm going to you. Will it what is your spotlight fight of the night for a Toonie?
My fight of the night is Michael Krzyzewski versus Ion Kuchelaba. I don't know how to say his name. But the Lord against the Hulk. I think it's going to the Lord against the Hulk. It's going to be light heavyweight. Both of them have KO power. It's going to be a good fight.
Wow. All right. Actually, that's not a bad fight. You guys have all picked good fights. Zahabi, of course, Ayman Zahabi. Pammy going with the Ion Kutalaba fight. Proteus, I'm going to throw to you last. I'm actually, and I hope I don't take your fight of the night, but I'm actually going Randy Brown versus Mickey Gall. I think this is going to be a closer fight than most people imagine. I want to see where Mickey Gall really is on this one, so I hope I didn't take your fight on this one, Proteus, but I'm going Randy Brown versus Mickey Gall.
Hey, Mickey.
That's a good drop.
Hey, Mickey.
Prados.
I think that there's, as we mentioned, this card is very, very stacked. If it doesn't do well, then we realize that the MMA fans are stupid.
What?
Okay, so spotlight fight of the night. I have two. James Vick versus Duffy. I also have the fight that we should have seen back a couple of weeks ago in Walt Harris versus Mark, the beer God beer. Thank you.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with this car, man. There's so many good fights in there. Let's give some love to OSP and Anderson, too. Corey Anderson, that's going to be a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
So many good fights on this car.
Here's the thing, though, guys. I think they waited on stacking fights, and now you have the end of the year that looks fantastic. Let's get out of here, guys. But before we get out of here, I do want to get this from you guys. Has the GSP thing been too hyped up, guys? Let's go quickly on this, because I don't think it's been hyped enough. Meaning him being out of the game for so long and people not knowing who it is. I'm not buying it, guys. I think that's just UFC propaganda. That's my take on it. Marco, what say you?
I feel the I'm
force
coming for Australia. But no, you know what? I think they're gonna be fine. I told you last week that I'm gonna wait to see how the Canadian market does. I truly believe that the strength of this card is gonna come from the Canadian market with the return of GSP. The hardcore fans in America are gonna be the hardcore fans. They're probably gonna get 300,000 hardcore fans in America. Another 300,000 fans on Canada, and this card is going to do around 600,000. That is a very respectable number, you know. I'm not pushing, like I said, not pushing the panic button. The card is fantastic. It got a lot of star power. There is a lot of buzz going on right now in New York. They finally sold the venue out. There is no more tickets left, according to Luke Thomas.
Oh, did they? Did they sell out, Marco?
That is what, according to Thomas and his Twitter handle, they sold out, but I might be wrong. You know, you got the second market ticket, so that is a completely different market. You know what I'm talking about? But they're going to do good in the gate, and they're probably going to do good in the pay-per-view. So I'm not worried. And when it comes to the return of GSP, they made it more of a big deal in Canada because the big press tour they did was more in Canada than in the United States. So I guess they're trying to bring that Canadian market back. That's just my opinion.
Wow. All right. You know what? Actually, you picked a great out. Shout out to Marco, because actually he picked a great out. So let's go out on this one. How many buys do you think? Shout out to Marco on this one. How many buys do you think we're going to get? So Marco said what? 600? You said 600K?
600K. Yeah, that's about right.
Tammy, how many buys do you think this pay-per-view gets?
You know what? Don't ask me math. How about that?
I didn't hear you. Did you hear Pam, guys?
No.
You don't know where, Pam.
I said a lot.
A lot. Okay, yeah. That's a good answer.
A lot.
Really? That's
a
it?
Lot.
All right.
Man, why do you ask me math? Don't ask me math.
Do they get over 700 buys? Over 700,000 buys, Pammy?
I'm 650.
Yeah, I don't think they get 700. Proteus,
do
they get
the price
how many
is
buys?
Right. Come on, man. This is not the price is right.
I know, right? 601.
Proteus?
Yeah. All right, are we all done here? Are we all done? Can I speak?
All right. Well, let's get out of here. Boy, this fell short. This bit fell short. All right. Follow us. Actually, that's Marco's part. All right. My Twitter follow of the week will be follow Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And still, like Marco said, follow her at Joanna MMA. Pammy, we go to you. Twitter follow of the week.
You know what? I'm gonna go one better. Follow Rose Namajunas and New. How about that?
Wow. Prado.
Yes. I think they get about 800. I think they get about 800,000 viewers. Tony, review just to get that out of the way. Second of all, at Redshift Rebels, check them out. They're going to be a new sponsor of ours. Check them out at Redshift Rebels.
Woohoo! Nice. All right, and Marco, close the show.
Okay, guys, I ran out of Netflix shows to watch, so I'm open up there for Netflix suggestions. I finished three shows already. I was on a marathon. That said, follow Tony at IMDJTony. Follow Pandora Box. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us, Knucklehead. We need the reviews. It helps out the show. Good weekend of fire. Check out Bellator on Friday. Check out UFC 17 on Saturday. We gotta leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Fuck your bitch ass belt too.
Real good.
I'm not impressed by your performance.